بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد بن عبد الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, my young friends, dear visitors, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us and put us on this planet. Obviously, we didn't fall out of the sky. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used our parents as a means for us coming here and putting us on planet Earth. And He subhanahu wa ta'ala also uses us as a means for getting our children here onto this planet as well. So clearly we have a biological relationship, a link with our parents and with our children and of course our siblings and the other relatives. And of course we have a very special physical relationship as well with our spouse or the other parent of our children. But these relationships are more than just biological or physical. They are indeed also emotional and spiritual as well. Today, we find generally that there is a move towards detachment and distances between family members. So first, it started off with the extended family. So we have distances now and a bit of detachment with our extended family members. So first, it started off with our uncles and aunts and our cousins, maybe not as close as they used to be in the past. Then it moved on to grandparents, and now we are seeing this detachment and these distances creep up between the relationship that parents and children have, and the relationship that spouses have, and that siblings have with one another. Now, of course, there are exceptions, but I'm referring to the general trend that we find in society. And in fact, it reminds us of the description that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us of the Day of Judgment, where He says in the Quran, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يوم يفر المرء من أخيه. To that day shall a man flee from his brother, وأمه وأبيه, and from his mother and his father, وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ, and from his wife and children. لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مِّنْهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ شَأْنٌ يُغْنِيهِ. That every one of them will be too engaged in their own affairs to care for others. Right? So this is a description of not life on earth. This is a description of the Day of Judgment. But we find that in reality, society is adopting some of these characteristics of the Day of Judgment right now in this world, right, where people don't have time for one another, they're distancing themselves, and eventually will be running away from one another. And in fact, we are also seeing, speaking of the Day of Judgment, we're also seeing some of the signs indicating that we're getting near to the Day of Judgment. Now, the Prophet ﷺ has given us a number of signs, and obviously we're not going to discuss all of them, but there's one in particular that has to do with the parents. And now this is mentioned in a hadith, and I have to say that the chain of narration, of transmission of that hadith, may be slightly questionable, but nonetheless, it is very interesting that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that one of the signs of the day coming near, of the day of resurrection coming near, is that أَطَاعَ الرَّجُلُ زَوْجَتَهُ وَعَقَّ أُمَّهُ, that a man obeys his wife and disobeys his mother. When a man starts disobeying his wife, or obeying his wife and disobeying his mother. And this one has to do with the mother. And the second one has to do with the father, and that is, وَبَرَّ صَدِيقَهُ وَجَفَاءَ أَبَاهُ. And he treats his friend kindly while shunning his father. Okay, so he treats his friend kindly, so he's closer to his friend, wants to be with his friend, and instead, you know, with that, he shuns his father. So these are some of the things that we find happening nowadays. Now let us take a brief look at the examples and teachings that we find regarding our family relationships. And the first one that really stands out is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, In the beginning of Surah An-Nisa, the chapter on women, he starts off by commanding us, all of people, right, to fear him, to be conscious of him, the one who created us from one man and one woman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on, and at the end of the verse he says, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي تَسَأَلُونَ بِهِ وَالْأَرْحَامِ. And this is the ayah actually that is recited and read at basically every single nikah that is conducted. At the time of marriage, it's the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to recite this verse. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي تَسَأَلُونَ بِهِ. Be careful of your duty towards Allah, or some have translated as fear Allah, in whom you claim your rights for one another. Okay? So we claim rights from one another. You know, husband wants his rights from his wife, the wife wants the rights from the husband, parents from their children, and vice versa, and so on and so forth. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, fear or be careful of your duty towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he says, wal arham, and towards the wombs. Okay, and this refers to the ties of kinship, the relationships that have been established through blood. So we know immediately that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that these relationships are so valuable and they're so important in His sight that He has assigned a duty upon us towards them. Not only are they just biological relationships that we have, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a duty, He has assigned a duty upon us towards them. And there are a number of ahadith, number of traditions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that also encourage this maintaining of relationships, and especially the blood relationships. So in fact, maintaining these relationships, working on them, improving them, and connecting with each other is in fact an act of obedience. What is it? An act of obedience and an act of worship towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? And this tells us that yes, this is a complete way of life. That even when it comes to your family relations, even that is maintaining them and taking care of those is an act of obedience and an act of worship towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let us start off with the parents. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not enjoined us and told us that you must take care of your parents by clothing them well, by dressing them well once they get old, or by feeding them and making sure that they have 5 meals a day, or that you just need to take care of them when they get sick, or to make sure they have their medication, or they have someone to take them to the doctor when they're ill. No, instead Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word ihsan. The word that He uses is ihsan. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. So that encompasses, that's a very broad word, and it encompasses all types of goodness, all types of kindness. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has enjoined goodness. So He says, be good to your parents, be kind to your parents. And left it open, and this includes, He leaves it open, including the emotional needs as well. And this is very important, because sometimes, we think mechanically, and we think that, okay, and even for our other family members, that, okay, we're providing them, we are, taking care of all their responsibilities. Yes, kids are going to school, everyone has clothes to wear, we have shelter over our heads, we're getting, meals. That's all. And we do the same thing with our parents too sometimes. But in fact, there's a lot more that they need. Right? It's not just material needs that they have, but there's also emotional needs as well. And the word ihsan can be understood to encompass all of those as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on in the same in the next verse, and He goes on and He says, وَقْفِضُ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَ الذُّلِّ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ. And lower to them the wing of humility out of mercy. And lower to them the wing of humility out of mercy. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that be humble to your parents out of being merciful. So be merciful and be humble. Have humility in front of your parent, to your parents. And also He goes on and says, وَقُلْ, and He gives a command. He says, and say, رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. So make dua for them. And say, my Lord, have mercy upon them as they brought me up when I was small. Or as they had mercy upon me when I was small. Now when it comes to the parents, of course, there's special emphasis on the mother. A man came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said, O Messenger of Allah, who from amongst mankind warrants the best companionship for me? Take note of that. What's the question? Who from amongst mankind, from all of the people, warrants the best companionship from me? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he replied, he didn't say your best friend. He didn't say your best friend, he didn't say your teacher, your spouse, your father even, he said your mother. Right? Your mother. The man asked, then who? Prophet ﷺ replied again, your mother. Same question again, then who? So Prophet ﷺ again said, your mother. 3 times. And then he kept going. He's like, okay, when is this mother thing going to end? Right? Before you think of that. So he replied, he asked again, who next? And then the Prophet ﷺ replied, then your father. Right? So we see special emphasis because, again, who is the best of companionship? Right? So the Prophet ﷺ mentioned mother two times and the father. Right? So out of the four best companions that a person can have are the mother and the father. Now, of course, the parents also have been given a responsibility as well. Right? It's a two-way street. So the Prophet the parents have been given the responsibility to teach their children, to guide their children, to give them good tarbiyah, right? So good upbringing, good character, and still good morals, good conduct. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا. That all you who believe, save yourselves, but that's not all. Save yourselves and your families. وَأَهْلِيكُمْ. Save your families, your loved ones, from the fire. And how exactly can you do that? You do that by being a good example to them, by being a good teacher to them, by being a good guide and trying your best. Now when it comes to the grandparents, the same that applies to the parents also applies to the grandparents, if not more. Because after all, they too are parents. It's in the name, right? Grandparents. The Prophet ﷺ has told us regarding our elders and our youngsters that لَيْسَ مِنَّا مَنْ لَمْ يَرْحَمْ صَغِيرَنَا وَيُؤَقِّرْ كَبِيرَنَا. That he is not one of us. The person is not amongst us, who is not from amongst us, who does not show mercy to our young ones and respect our elders. Right? So this is an essential part of being a Muslim, an essential part of behaving as a Muslim, that you know, one has mercy upon the youngsters and respect for the elders. The Prophet ﷺ also has stated that a young person does not honor an older person on account of their age, except that Allah appoints someone to show reverence to them in their old age. Right? So the saying that, you know, what goes around comes around. So if a person shows reverence to an elderly person on account of their age, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appoints someone else who's going to do that to them once they reach their old age. So this was the parents and the grandparents. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has addressed a very special relationship that spouses have with one another. And he has said, and I'm sure you've heard this ayah many times, especially at marriages and nikahs, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and of his signs, this is one of the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that he created you from him, from yourselves, mates, that you may find tranquility in them. So this is the objective. So that you may find tranquility and peace in them, and he placed between you affection and mercy. When you have two people who grew up in different households, who may not have even known one another when they were growing up, and through that whole, you know, good portion of their life, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings them together, they come together and he puts affection and mercy in their hearts, and they live together with a life of tranquility and peace. So this is a great sign of the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had very close and intimate relationships with his wives. Right? So for example, he is known to have rested his head in their laps. And this has been recorded. You know that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would wipe off the tears that would come out of their eyes if they were upset over something. He would offer comfort. They would comb his hair, right, out of affection. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would even sometimes try to make sure that he was eating and drinking from exactly the same spots from where Aisha radiallahu anha had eaten and drunk from a cup. Okay, so not only would they be sharing the same plate and the same cup, but the Prophet ﷺ would ensure that he would try to put his mouth on exactly the same spot where Aisha radiallahu anha had drank from the cup. And when she was eating some meat, if she took a bite, he would take it, and he would also try to take a bite from that same area. Okay, so this was the nature of the intimacy between the Prophet ﷺ and his wives. The Prophet ﷺ even encouraged us to feed our spouses with our own hands, right? And they would spend the time together as well. This has also been recorded. The Prophet ﷺ and his wives spent time together, you know, sometimes, for example, with Aisha radiallahu anha, watching the sport, or, you know, we can spend time together with other pastimes. Also has been recorded that they would play with one another, like race, right? Race with one another. So the Prophet ﷺ was racing with Aisha radiallahu anha. One time, you know, he won, and then one time he let her win, and so on and so forth. And also using good names for one another, right? So not just the real names, but also using loving nicknames for one another. Now when it comes to the responsibilities, what we find is that the responsibilities have been split, and this is how it has been recommended. That the primary responsibility for earning and ensuring the well-being of the family is upon the husband. The primary responsibility for nurturing the children and managing the household is with the wife, but of course they could assist one another in doing that as long as they're taking care of their primary responsibilities. When it came to the children, the Prophet ﷺ was very close, especially to his daughter Fatima radiallahu anha. Right? The Prophet ﷺ was very, very close to his daughter Fatima radiallahu anha, and she was also very close to him as well. He would show a lot of love to her and also to her children too, to his grandchildren. And Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu narrates the Prophet kissed Hassan ibn Ali radiallahu anhuma while Aqra ibn Habis was sitting nearby. So this companion of the Prophet ﷺ, he said, I have 10 children and I have never kissed any of them. I have 10 children and I have never kissed any of them. Because you know, that's how harsh and cold the society was at the time. That's the type of environment it was. The Prophet ﷺ looked at him and said, those who show no mercy will be shown no mercy. Right? So again, we see that the Prophet ﷺ was someone who was very affectionate with his family. Anas radiallahu anhu actually relates just that. He says that I never saw anyone who was more compassionate to his family than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he says that the wet nurse of his son Ibrahim, right? So because the children would be given away for feeding for some time, so the wet nurse, the woman who was feeding him, lived in one of the bordering neighborhoods of Medina, so on the outskirts of Medina. And the husband of the wet nurse was a blacksmith. Okay, going there every day to the smoke-filled house, the Prophet ﷺ would embrace, sniff, and kiss the child. Okay, so even the fact that he was there in such an environment, which may have been, you know, hard and with a lot of smoke and may not have smelled very nice, Prophet ﷺ would still go. He would still show affection and show love to his child. And some other ahadith show the love that he had. So you know, he would hug the children, kiss the children, carry them on his back, play with them as well. But of course, the important thing is to remember our duty, and that is to guide our children, to be a good example, to instill good morals, to instill good teachings in them. And once the children have become mature, so once the children have hit the age of puberty and Islamically they are responsible for their own conduct, then they're responsible for their own deeds. Now the parents are not responsible anymore. So the parents have done their job, or should have tried to do their job properly, which is, again, to be a good guide, teach good morals, you know, give a good upbringing, teach the foundations of Islam, so on and so forth. And once the parents have tried that to the best of their ability, then the children are responsible for their own deeds. So these are just some of the teachings that we find that show a strong family bond that is built upon care, compassion, love, but also duties towards one another. Right? And we see that togetherness as a family is encouraged. Right? So every member of the family has some other relationship, right? Has an emotional relationship with every other member of the family. And in fact, this is also a part of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my brothers and sisters, I would encourage you to think about your own relationship with your family members. Right? Regardless of the status of your family, regardless of what type of family you have, think about your relationship with your family members. Right? So with your spouse, with your brothers and sisters, with your children, with your parents, your grandparents, your uncles, your aunts, your cousins. Right? Does it fit the description and the guidelines and the examples that we find in the Quran and in the examples of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And how can those relationships be improved? And I'm sure that we all have some work to do in this area. I'd like to finish off with something which seems very trivial, and I mentioned this a few weeks ago, and we're losing it as time goes on. We're losing this practice. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has encouraged eating together. And he has stated, as I mentioned a few weeks ago, that eat together, all of you, and do not separate individually, because the barakah is in the group. The blessings are in the group. Now, of course, we take this as having a meal together as a family, but in the past, at those times, they would even eat in one dish. Right? So the whole family would gather around one dish, and everyone would take from that food. In any case, the importance of having a meal together. And I was doing some research on this, and I found that over the past 15 years, researchers have confirmed what parents have known for a long time, and that is that sharing a family meal is good for the spirit, the brain, and the health of all family members. Recent studies link regular family dinners with many behaviors that parents pray for. So for example, lower rates of substance abuse, teen pregnancy and depression, as well as higher averages, great GPAs, grade point averages, and self-esteem. Studies also indicate that dinner conversation is a more potent vocabulary booster than reading, and the stories told around the kitchen table help our children build resilience. Right? And they also lower the rates of obesity and eating disorders in children and adolescents. Right? So when the Prophet ﷺ recommended eat together, you know, do not separate because the blessings are in the group, that is true, and that is what the research shows as well. So think about how we can create more opportunities to come together as families, how we can increase, you know, love and care and compassion within family members. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put barakah and blessings in all of our relationships. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep our families peaceful and happy together. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala show us all a path of righteousness. Ameen wa akhwa da'wani from the Islamic Academy.
الله أكبر الله